Father, we are grateful this morning for the privilege of looking into the Word of God once again. We ask for thy help today now as we seek the truth of thy Word. Grant that the truth may be applied to our hearts. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you today, will you open them, please, to the 6th chapter of the book of Revelation, as we are considering together in our verse-by-verse study of the book of the Revelation, the truth which is presented in Revelation chapter 6. We have examined the first 8 verses of Revelation chapter 6, and in that paragraph we have found 4 seals of a 7-sealed book opened. As each one of those seals was opened, one of the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse rode forth. We discovered those 4 horsemen of the apocalypse represented 4 movements or activities which would occur on the earth in the early part of the tribulation period. That brings us to what we want to consider now, the opening of the 5th seal. May be difficult for us to grasp the intensity of what we are talking about here, because we are looking at it from a long-range standpoint. But if we can really get the feel of it, we will realize an abundant relief in our hearts when the 5th seal is opened, because it does grant to us something of a respite from the intense activity that is occurring on the earth. Will you notice, please, Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. And when he had opened the 5th seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also, and their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. These 3 verses describe the opening of the 5th seal. It's an amazing thing to me, but it's true, that in most commentaries on the book of the Revelation, these verses are passed over with a very short paragraph. But I believe they are pregnant with meaning, and I would like for us to see everything that is involved in these verses, if we possibly can. I would like for us to get clear in our minds the scene that is before us before we try to analyze it. Let us look back over this paragraph, paraphrasing it somewhat, so that we may be able to see exactly what is represented under the 5th seal. The first thing that meets our eyes is the altar in heaven. We will be talking about it in a bit. And right at the foot of the altar is gathered a great host of people. I say at the foot of the altar advisedly, because if you will look at verse 9, you will notice the word under. It would be better translated at the foot of. Because the suggestion in the original text is not that down underneath the altar were gathered all of these souls. It is rather that the altar was here, and right under the altar, right at the foot of it, were gathered this multitude of people. This multitude of people are an unusual group of people, because they were martyrs. They had lost their lives because of the Word of God, because of the testimony which they had given in behalf of the Word of God. As John views this great group of people in front of the altar of God, he hears them talking to God, and they are asking God a question. Their question is, How long, Lord? How long is it going to be before you take vengeance upon the people who denied us our life? How long is it going to be before you visit judgment upon the earth? Now God spoke very kindly to them and said, first of all, We're going to take care of you. He bestowed upon each one of them a white robe. And then he said, I want you to rest. I want you to rest until all the rest of the people who belong to your group have come up here to heaven. When the rest of them have come up here, then we will take care of the judgment that is justly due the earth. Now, that's the story recorded in this portion of the Word of God as we've tried to paraphrase it for you. Now that we have the scene clearly set before us, or at least we hope so, let us go back and notice some of the wonderful things that are presented to us in this portion of the Word of God, and some of the things that we need to know. Some of them we might not even think about if we didn't find some reference to them here in this portion of the Word of God. So the first thing that I would like to call to your attention is that there is an altar in heaven. Does that sound a bit strange to you? Well, it does not need to sound strange, because the Bible emphasizes that in heaven there is a temple, and in that temple there is an altar, and that altar plays a very important part in God's relationship to the earth. I would like for you to see from the Word of God that there is actually a temple in heaven. So will you turn, please, to Revelation chapter 11. We're not going to take the time to comment on this verse now. We'll be talking about it later. We will simply point out to you so that you can see the fact that our statement have their roots in the basis of Scripture. Revelation 11:1, "There was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise, and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein." This temple of God, as the context will show you, is actually in heaven. So there can be no doubt that there is a temple in heaven. But we are constantly told that the book of the Revelation is a book that was never meant to be understood. So it might be wise to emphasize that it can be understood, but perhaps we shouldn't try to prove anything from the book of the Revelation alone. Otherwise, folk might tend to disregard it. So I'm going to suggest that, for that reason, you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 8. Now, if you are familiar with the book of Hebrews, you know that the book is in the Old Testament in the midst of the New Testament, because it describes so many things that are related to Old Testament practices and Old Testament ceremonies. The reason for that is, it is God's last message to the Hebrew race, and God is talking to them about things with which they are familiar. Will you notice, please, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. "Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest, who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary, and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on the earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount." Moses had a blueprint for the tabernacle that he built in the wilderness, and that blueprint was the blueprint of the temple or the tabernacle in heaven. And if you will turn over to chapter 9 of the book of Hebrews and notice verse 8, you will find these words, "The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was still standing." That is the earthly tabernacle. Then in verse 9 he said, "Which was a figure for the time then present." And if you glance down at the 11th verse, "Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and a more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands." That is to say, not of this building. So, here is the Word of God very plainly emphasizing that there is a tabernacle, a temple in heaven, which is very, very important in relation to God's dealings with the earth. Now, we're going to have to stop right there. We Wanted to talk with you about the altar, which will emphasize the importance, but we'll have to get to that when we meet together again.